Meditation is when a person talks to God. That is why in meditation one feels oneness with God or being Him. Without being humble, this might create a superiority feeling in the person who meditates. This is the reason why selfless service is recommended for the disciple, to bring a balance between a great feeling of being one with God and the humbleness of being selfless, his servant. Prayer also does the same thing. In order for a person to kneel down and pray to God, he or she should humble the self to do so. Therefore, meditation and prayer go hand in hand. They bring a balance to a person. Meditation makes a person to be with God. Prayer makes him humble. Prayer, in fact, is a spiritual service, not being self-centered, to the self. In prayer, when we pray, we have to say in the sacred name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Mother. However, the sacred name, the Word, cannot be pronounced, uttered, in manifest words. In order to pray in His name without attempting to utter His name, the Word, we should invoke God, Father, Son, and the Mother, without outwardly saying the Holy Name. Therefore, when in prayer, pray in the name, sacred name, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Mother. For those who have received the sacred name, the Word, the Holy Name, they can listen to it within themselves. They can pray in the sacred name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the Word, the names of the Son and the Father merge as one. The movement and the creative energy created, felt within, is the Mother, Rajaguna. Therefore, always remember the Father, the Son, and the Mother in your prayers by invoking them. The Son is used in the middle between the Father and the Holy Ghost to show his mediating position. He manifests the Father and the Mother, the Holy Ghost, as the Messiah and the manifested world. Each of them are necessary in creation. The Father is his divine logic and the controller of the universe. The Mother Holy Spirit is the creative forces in the universe. God is both the Father and the Mother Holy Ghost. He is generator, operator, and destroyer. The Son enables God to be manifested, Messiah, in the material world. Therefore, when praying, pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In any other name or names, or vibration used is not the sacred name and is man-made. Nonviolence is the path of evolution. It is an involvement to bring about a change when the time is ripe for such a change. Any moment an attempt to bring a change earlier or later creates suffering and violence. To know the right time to take action is the path of wisdom. All the forces in the universe are evolving towards guiding it to its destiny, perfection and harmony. There are moments in which each of these evolvements or a combination of them give their fruit. Sometimes the relationship between many elements in a whole evolutionary step is not clear to a mind concentrated on a small portion of the whole. But the march of the whole to its destiny is harmonious and nonviolent. Sometimes an evolutionary step can be accelerated by providing some positive elements, but it cannot be rushed. Also, this process can be slowed down by creating obstacles, but never can be stopped. It is this law which determines the success of an evolutionary or revolutionary step. When such a step is taken in the proper time, they will succeed with minimum violence, suffering. If one is taken prematurely, it can can become a counter-evolutionary or counter-revolutionary step. Such steps slow down the process, but can never completely stop it. The universe marches on to its destiny. Anything that insists to stay in its path and resist its process will be crushed. The greater the resistance, the greater the crush will be. It is this resistance to change and creating obstacles in the path of progress that creates the antithesis in nature. Then a great struggle is necessary to eradicate the resistance. If the leaders are wise and can see where the next step in the evolution of humanity is, they can guide it to the next step without allowing a great resistance. This is then the path of nonviolence, the path of evolution and harmony. Therefore, we can see how important this law is. It is the path of balance and harmony. To create leaders who understand this and are not trapped in one ideology or the other is of prime importance. Such wise counselors who can guide humanity from one place to the other should be created. In this regard, communities of light and our teachings, though, are most helpful. Salam, everyone, and thank you for your patience. And now Athena will read.
Shalom, everyone. Welcome to the study room of the Mission of Maitreya. I'm continuing the reading out of Soul Supplement on page 574, topic Light Body. In Soul, the ethereal body and astral body are regarded as the same. Some, however, make a distinction between them. Indeed, the ethereal and astral bodies are two different stages of the etheric body. The ethereal body is under the influence of the tama, crudifying force, and the astral body is the etheric body under the raja, mutative force. That is why in the astral body a person can enter, move into the ethereal spheres. Then in this state, a person can create his own creation by his own will. Even greater than the astral state is the etheric sphere under the influence of the sattva, sentient force. Some call this state the state of divine logic. It is in this state that the will of the Creator and man become one. Then such a person becomes a pure channel to manifest the will of God on earth. Before reaching this highest state, still a person might fall into the spiritual traps of the ethereal body, spiritual powers, or the astral body, become trapped in his own creation. However, when the will of the Creator and God become one, there is no illusion left. It is then that the light body will also be manifested. The goal of spiritual progress is neither to gain powers, siddhis, nor to become an astral traveler, but to manifest the will, love, and power of God. If any power is granted to him, or he is allowed into the astral world, then he will utilize them for the will. They then can no longer become a trap. The goal is to create love, compassion, humility, understanding, joy of God, etc. The rest will be added to us. And now skipping to page 575, Salvation. In order to know the truth, we should look to the past to see a pattern that will conform any teachings. In the teachings of the Far East, especially Hinduism, a period is described when many great souls were living on earth. They were called by many names, such as rishis, masters, mahatmas, munis, etc. Their teachings, however, became a wealth of knowledge for future generations. In their teachings, a state of oneness with God, Atman, is explained. according to these teachings. That is the goal of spiritual endeavor. Whoever reaches this oneness has reached the goal. However, for many thousands of years, 12,000 few have realized this oneness. The reason for this has been the 12,000-year period of human history when man fell further away from God, truth. We are now at the point of return to the Godhead. That is the reason for such a great confusion in this conjunction between the end of the old and the dawn of the new. However, the old history should not be completely disregarded. There are great lessons to be learned from it. The new indeed should be based on these lessons of the old. We are on the brink of discovering much great knowledge which can either be used for good, God, or evil. It is after the establishment of the kingdom for 1,000 years that humanity will learn the great lessons which have been revealed throughout the book So and the Eternal Divine Path. And it says in Revelation again for the 1,000 years. This is when many will attain salvation. This is the goal of our teaching. They will reach be with the Father as His sons. These great souls once more will teach humanity the goal of their lives to become divine. One, the sons of God, will be with man, Atman. Thanks God for these words, and Salome Rebecca for Reader's Choice.